Works fine, no complaints. But the nanofabric suits are so much easier to work in. He picked up his spoon, hesitated, then put it down on the table again with a tiny clink. Everybody else uses the nanosuits, she said earnestly. I'm sorry. I just don't trust them. But that doesn't mean I don't trust you, Doreen. I just feel safer inside an old, reliable hard-shell suit. She looked at him with her big puppy eyes for a long, silent moment. Carlton realized her eyes were an exotic, grayish-green color. It reminded him of a jewelry stone. What's it called? Tourmaline, he remembered. With an effort, he looked down and started spooning up his cereal. Would you mind if I went with you this morning? She asked. In a nanosuit? Yes, that's what I'd be wearing. He grinned at her, trying to shame the old man. You're not old. Old enough, he said with a practiced sigh. Would it be all right? To come out this morning, sure. The work's pretty boring, though, except for the explosions. I don't mind. Okay, then. Doreen, good morning. Carlton looked up to see a dark-haired, thick-set younger man approaching them. With a glance at Carlton, he plunked his tray on the table as he asked, All right to sit here, Dr. Carlton? Kalman Torok, Carlton saw, one of the biologists. There were only 200-and-some people at Tithonium Base, and Carlton, with his long years of memorizing students' names, knew most of them on a first-name basis. Name tags helped, of course. Behind him came an older woman whom Carlton recognized as Nari Quintana, the base's chief medical officer, a diminutive, spare older woman with a bony, hard-edged face and mousy, dull brown hair. She sat down without asking permission and began unloading her tray onto the table. As he picked up his steaming mug of coffee, Torok asked gloomily, Have you heard the latest? They say they're going to shut us down and ship us back to Earth. He spoke in British English with a decided Middle European accent. Who says that? Carlton snapped. Torok raised his heavy black brows. It's the buzz. Everybody's talking about it. He talks with his eyebrows, Carlton said to himself. They're more expressive than his whiny voice. I don't believe it, said Doreen. They're closing the base over in Hellas, but not here. Here, said Torok, as if he had superior knowledge. They can't shut us down, Carlton said. That would be stupid. Criminal, Quintana agreed. I'll have to return to Caracas. Not to Caltech? Doreen asked. I thought you were on the medical staff there. She shook her head sadly. I gave up my position at Caltech to come to Mars. And what happens to your work? Carlton asked Torok. The biologist sighed. It will be the end of my experiment on growing plants in the indigenous soil. I'll write a paper on it when I get back to Budapest, I suppose. Can't you bring soil samples back to Budapest? Doreen asked. What good would that do? Torok countered, those thick dark brows knitting. I'd have to start all over again, and the university would never pay to build a simulation chamber large enough to be useful. He fell into a morose silence. Quintana picked listlessly at her plate of eggs and soy meat bacon while Torok took a sip from his mug. God, what I'd give for a decent cup of coffee, the Hungarian groused, thumping the mug onto the tabletop. Instead of this crap. It has to be decaffeinated, Quintana replied sharply. Caffeine denatures vitamin C. You know that. Yes, I know. Still, do you want to come down with scurvy, like they did on the first expedition? You're on Mars. Keep that in the front of your mind every day, every minute. Torok started to glare at the harsh-tongued physician, but shrugged instead and muttered, I won't be on Mars for much longer. Neither will you. Trying to make it sound bright, Doreen said, Well, if we're sent home, you'll be back with your wife and kids again, Cal. Torok's face grew even more somber. She prefers to have me here. Oh? Carlton asked, What about you, Doreen? If we have to leave, I'll go back to Selene and work in the nanolab. On the moon? You can't do nanotech work anywhere on Earth, she replied. Not legally. And you, Professor? Torok asked. Where will you go? Carlton still winced inwardly when anyone addressed him by the title that had been stripped from him. I'm staying right here, he said firmly. And so are all of you. They can't shut us down. Waterman won't let that happen. Albuquerque, Duran Condominiums. Jamie Waterman awoke slowly from his dream about the Martian village. For long moments he lay unstirring in his bed, looking up at the soft eggshell white of the ceiling, his eyes focused on the past. Al's been dead more than 20 years, he said to himself, and still I dream about him. Turning his head, he saw his wife sleeping beside him. Vijay's beautiful dark face looked relaxed, untroubled. Jamie wished he could feel that way. I was there when Al died. When the Sky Dancers took him away, Jamie remembered. Not like when Jimmy died. Vijay was alone then. I was 100 million kilometers away. She had to deal with our son's death by herself. Slowly he blinked away the memory of his dream, the memories of the dead, and slipped quietly out of bed. Vijay stirred slightly but didn't wake up, her long dark hair tousled, her lustrous eyes softly closed. I'll never leave you again, Jamie promised silently. Not for anything. He padded to the bathroom and shut the door as quietly as he could. Another day, Jamie thought as he looked into the shaving mirror. Just like yesterday and the day before. Just like tomorrow will be. Going through the motions. The excitement's gone. Now we're just trying to hold on, trying to keep them from shutting us down. Why bother? He asked himself. Why not let the bastards close down the program and bring everybody home? Why fight the inevitable? His unhappy face stared back at him, broad cheeks, coppery skin, dark brooding eyes. Strands of gray flecked his close-cropped jet-black hair. His mouth turned downward unhappily. He saw his father's Navajo face. His mother's golden hair and pink skin were inside him, didn't show. Jamie showered, then shaved, even though he felt he didn't really need to. When he slowly opened the door to the bedroom, Vijay hadn't stirred in their bed. If the shower and the shaver didn't wake her, she must be really out. Good, he thought. She deserves her rest. Putting up with me isn't easy. He dressed as quietly as he could in his newest jeans and a crisply starched white shirt. Rummaging carefully through his dresser drawer, he pulled out his best bolo, the silver and onyx one that he usually reserved for formal receptions at the university. Softly, softly, he filled his pockets with change and keys and facial tissues. And the bear fetish, with the wispy white eagle's feather that Al had lovingly tied to it just before Jamie left for Mars the first time. The feather's looking pretty shoddy, he thought. Worn down by the years. Just like me. Vijay slept on. Sleep is the best healer, Jamie said to himself. She says she's okay. She smiles and acts normal and pretends she's over it. For me. She puts on the good face for my sake. But Jimmy's death still haunts us. We should have done what real Navajos do. We should have left this condo and moved someplace else. Someplace far away from all these memories. With his boots in one hand, he tiptoed to the edge of the bed. So beautiful, he thought as he gazed down at her. It shouldn't have happened to her like this. She deserves better. Help her find her path through this, he prayed silently to gods he didn't really believe in. With a grimace, he added, and while you're at it, I could use some help myself. Data Bank. Mars is the most Earth-like planet in the solar system, but that doesn't mean that it's very much like Earth. Barely half of Earth's size, Mars orbits roughly 1.5 times farther from the Sun than Earth does. It is a small, cold, seemingly barren world, a frozen desert of iron rust sands from pole to pole. Yet Mars is a spectacular world. The tallest mountain in the solar system is the aptly named Olympus Mons, a massive shield volcano 3 times higher than Everest, with a base as wide as the state of Idaho. The main caldera at Olympus Mons' summit could swallow Mount Everest entirely. Other huge volcanoes dot the Tharsis Highlands, all of them long extinct. Almost halfway across the planet is Hellas Planitia, an enormous impact crater nearly the size of Australia,